Our scripture reading today is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 through 15. Abba told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life away, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights in Hebron, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life, so take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind and after the wind on the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life, so take it away." Then the Lord said to them, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hezra as king over Aram." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This time of year is always hard for Atlas, who's wandering around up here. I'm sorry. I hope he won't be a distraction. The reason this time of the year is hard for him is because he's terrified of fireworks. And last night, our neighbors had a big party. And during the big party, there were lots of very loud fireworks. It's a hard time for Atlas. And so we give him a little extra compensation and extra love. Well, it was a hard time for Elijah, too. Before we go further with our sermon, let's pause and ask for God's blessing on our time. Gracious God, you're part of our lives in all the times of our lives, and we give you thanks for that. I ask your blessing on this time as we listen to your word. Speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, it was a bad time for Elijah. He had blood on his hands. And he was as tired as could be, and he had a queen threatening to kill him. We find ourselves today in the middle of a story. The story of the tumultuous relationship between Elijah and King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. It's a story of travail, of guilt, and the persistent pursuit of God through the hard times in our lives. In the last chapter, Elijah had that great showdown with the prophets of Baal. It has all the elements of great theater. Hundreds of prophets on one side and Elijah standing there alone on the other. There's the great sacrificial mound for each, and Elijah has made his mound harder to conquer by soaking it with water so that it's more difficult to catch the flame. And in that great gesture of triumph, God has answered Elijah when all the prophets of Baal could not entice their god, small g, to send even a spark to the sacrificial fire. Elijah's wet mess caught fire and burned hot and bright. Then with the zeal of a conqueror, Elijah has all 400 some prophets of Baal rounded up, and he runs a sword through each one of them, killing them. When did God say that was okay? It's a brutal story. It's one we don't like to try to explain. And I think that after that, Elijah felt really bad about it. That's the backstory to our Hebrew Bible reading for today. It's no wonder that the Baal-worshipping Queen Jezebel was infuriated with Elijah. And no wonder that Elijah turned tail and ran. He was as good as dead. Elijah goes trudging by himself a day's journey into the wilderness, weary of mind and body and spirit. He sees a singular bushy tree and drops down under it and invites himself to that all too familiar pity party. God, just kill me now. And in order to make death easier, he lets his depression pull him down into the deep sleep of someone who has no wish to wake up. So it must have been a rather rude awakening when the angel came to him. Get up, Elijah. Eat. Drink. Now Elijah is just waiting to die, convinced that he is the only follower of God left in the vast world and that there's no reason to go on living. With no strength to fight it, Elijah does as he's told. He eats and he drinks and he immediately falls asleep again. This behavior is typical of depression. Discouragement and letdown after the big fire show, not to mention the blood of 400 people on his hands, has Elijah devastated. Elijah is as low as it's possible to be. I can imagine his response when the angel wakes him up a second time. Go away. Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, isn't it obvious? I alone am faithful in all of Israel. What are the feelings of this once great prophet? Oh, he's so lonely. He's guilty, discouraged. The pity party is as grand as a pity party can be. But there's just one problem. Elijah isn't really alone. And God isn't going to leave him alone. Not only does God ignore Elijah's request that he die, God keeps on nurturing him, keeps on feeding him, keeps on at him until Elijah responds. Stuck, ready to give up and die, this stubborn, persistent God won't go away. Have you ever felt that way? I think we all have at one time or another thrown that pity party for ourselves. We just feel spent, guilty, alone, discouraged. It's really not that hard to fall into that place when we're feeling put upon. When we've used every bit of energy and don't feel like we've done the right thing, and it is uncomfortable. A place where we push others away, where it seems that no one, let alone the God of the universe, wants to be near us. Just let me die. Elijah, what are you doing? Or Lori, or Steve, or Susie, or Roger, what are you doing? Well, if you're going to ask, says Elijah, I'm going to tell you. And here's the pity party line. I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone, yes, here it is again, I alone am left. And they're seeking my life to take it away. And God still doesn't leave Elijah alone. God still persists, calmly picking Elijah up and giving him nourishment. God loves on Elijah. And then he tells him to get on with the business of being a prophet. Even in the depths of guilt and despair, God does not leave us alone. This is the good news for today. God doesn't leave us alone, doesn't let us stay feeling worthless beyond hope. The reality is that God just hangs in there with us, feeding our empty soul, giving and forgiving and encouraging, until we're ready with that extra push to get on with the business at hand. Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain the Lord is about to pass by. Okay, so by now Elijah's feeling a little better. So he moves, waiting for the Lord. This is one of the most famous sequences in the Bible. First comes the wind. But God, well, God isn't in the wind. Now, does God sometimes speak in the midst of the wind? Of course. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost when the Holy Spirit blew in like a mighty wind. This time, God wasn't in the wind, or Elijah wasn't ready to hear God there. There's Elijah standing out on the mountain in the wind, waiting on God, but God isn't there. So Elijah has to wait some more. The discouragement must have begun to creep back into him, the self-questioning. Oh, that loneliness. Then comes the earthquake, and Elijah grabs onto something. Does God come in great earthquaking events of our lives? Of course. Sometimes that's where we meet God, but not this time. This time the earth shaking is empty, and Elijah just can't find the promise of God in that. Then there's fire. Can God speak? Does God speak in the midst of fire? Of course. God spoke a great deal just a little while ago for Elijah in that great fire that sparked that wet mess of a sacrificial fire to catch. God spoke to Moses in the fire of a bush that burned and was not consumed, but this time God wasn't speaking in the fire. Wait some more, Elijah. Wait. Hang in there. It's coming. Then came the great silence. And when Elijah heard the silence, he went out of the cave and wrapped himself in his mantle. It took all those other noisy phenomena for Elijah to be ready to go out and meet God. But when Elijah heard the silence, finally, after all of the waiting, after all of the trials of the prophets and the queen and the wind and the earthquake and the fire, with Elijah waiting through all of this, God finally spoke. Or finally Elijah could hear God. It's almost as if Elijah has to relive all the things that have brought him to this point before he can be still. Be still enough to hear the voice of the Lord. After all of those storms and Elijah's great pity party, God calmly, quietly tells him, Now get up and get on with the next thing that I have for you to do, and here it is. My friends, in all of the storms of our lives, God will not forsake us. Even when we're as low as we can go, God is there with us, even when we can't feel it. God keeps us and helps us through those times, even when we're pretty sure we can't go on. We're nourished and encouraged and eventually ready to get on with the business at hand. This is the hope and the joy of our lives, that God doesn't leave us alone, even when we're as low as we can go. Thanks be to God for that consistent, persistent love that never gives up on us. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.